Well, Pastor, I'm not having a tough time. Well, let me suggest that you get some Saran wrap and wrap this sermon up. And when you find yourself in tough time, unwrap it and then apply it. Amen. The truth of the matter is, all that live godly will suffer persecution. Amen. Trouble is the lot of the world. Amen. For we live in a fallen world. And our adversary, as a roaring lion, he's going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. It is his will. It is his will that we would not go to heaven. I'm talking about the evil one. He's doing all that he can to keep us from going to heaven. But thanks be to God that God has made it possible that whosoever will, amen. Let me give you the four words. Four words. Plan, pray, trust, and obey. Amen. Plan, pray, trust, and obey. We see in the lives of Esther and Mordecai, as this drama plays out, how these four words take on significance for tough times. But I would have us to know, number one, that God's people are in his hands. Amen. The Jews were in Persia, but it does not matter that they are not in Jerusalem. For the same God that they could serve in Jerusalem is also in Persia. And I love that, because the same God that I experience in Piney Point, Texas, is also the same God that's at Foconas. Amen. 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 You see, God doesn't pass us off like air traffic controllers. Amen. You leave the purview of one and somebody else takes over. But wherever we are, we are in the purview of the Almighty God. Amen. Esther and Mordecai believed God would deliver his people, but they didn't just sit around and wait for God to fix everything. They took action. Let me tell you this, my dears. Although God is sovereign, look at your neighbor and say, God is sovereign. Amen. We know that, but still, God works through people. Amen. If you're waiting for God to come down here and do something for you, let me burst your bubble. Amen. God already has somebody that he has appointed, amen, to bless you. Amen. The Jews in the Persian Empire are set for extermination. Amen. As a result of an arrogant, racist attitude of one man, the Jews are on a fast track to annihilation. Amen. That one man was Haman, who was the second in command in the Persian Empire. Haman loved his power and authority and the reverence that was shown him. Amen. And it's interesting, and I tell us this all the time, that if you're not careful, people can punch your buttons and direct you. Amen, amen. Because if you have ill feelings against someone and you have a perfectly beautiful day, the sun is shining, sky is blue, birds are chirping, and then you see old so-and-so, and all of a sudden the sun is no longer shining, sky is not blue, the birds have quit chirping. Well, this was the case with Haman. Amen, amen. Haman, after having been promoted, felt good about himself. Let me tell you something, my friend. Be careful about how you feel about yourself. Amen. Brother Paul tells us in Romans 12, you ought not think more highly of yourself than you ought. For God has given to every man the measure of faith. Amen. We all have something to offer. Amen. But the best of us really is no greater than the least of us. For we are all created in the likeness and image of God. Oh, you might have more money. Might even look better. Amen. Drive a better car. But you're not any better. Because things don't make you better. But Haman began to believe that he was all that in a bag of chips. Amen. And so when he would walk through the gates at the king's palace, and all the people would bow down to him, Mordecai looked at him and said, "I'm sorry, but I can't do that." Now let me hasten to tell you, there was not a problem in honoring him. Amen. There was not a problem with that. But you see, the problem was that those that were in control in Persia, the king and all of those that were in power, they were looked upon as deity. They were looked upon as deity. And Mordecai had remembered what the Lord had said. Thou shalt have no other God, small g, before me. A part of the problem with some of us today is we're letting things become more important to us than God. Amen, amen. But I want us to know that God is all that is required. Everything else is good. But God is essential. A life without God is a useless life. A life without God is like a ship without a rudder. Amen. You can't give yourself the right direction without God in your life. Now, I know that we like to feel like academically I've got it made and so I know how to do things. That is good. But you still need the Lord in your life. Amen. He is the one that causes us to have the right temperament. That morality will prevail. Ethically, we're not challenged. You know, part of the problem with folk without God is they don't care what they do. Amen. They don't care what they do. But when God is in your life, amen, he directs that life. Amen, amen, amen. But for Haman, he walks through the gate, and every time he walks through the gate, all of them will bow down except Mordecai. Isn't it amazing how he focused on the one who didn't bow? And you got all these other folk who wanted to be influenced by, so they would bow down. But he could not feel good about himself. Simply because that Jew is not bowing down to me. Haman said, the answer is simple. Kill all those who have disgraced my authority. Mordecai is the face of the people of Haman's all-consuming racial hatred. And I need to put a pin here because I want you to know racial prejudice has no place in the hearts of people. Amen, amen. While you're looking at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. That's right. Come on, talk to me. Amen. But for the Jews, this is the epitome of tough times. Now, I want you to watch how these four words play out. Number one. Plan. My dears, we ought to always play a plan. A failure to plan is a plan to fail. That's right. Amen. The plan does not have to be elaborate, but it ought to always include God. That's right. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. It doesn't have to be an elaborate plan, but it ought to always include God. Amen. In verse 18... Amen. After Haman has gone to Ahasuerus and got him to issue a decree that the Jews would be annihilated. Amen. Mordecai is outside wailing, pull his clothes off, and put on sackcloth and ashes, and start bemoaning what has happened. Word got to Esther, and Esther says, "What's wrong?" And Mordecai tells Hatak to take a copy of the decree and show Esther what is planned for the Jews. It's amazing. It's amazing. Mordecai says, "This is the plan. I want you to go in before the king, and I want you to plead the case of your people." Now see, he pointedly reminded her in verse number 14, amen, that she was a Jew also. And so when she's pleading her case, she's pleading the case of all of the Jews. Amen. Urge Esther to go in to the king and plead for her people. Now, there are some who would say, "Well, just going into your husband, is that all bad?" Well, my dears, it's not that simple. According to the rules, that if you were not invited in and you just showed up in the inner court without being invited, you were doomed to die. Amen. Wife or anyone. And so one would take one's life in their hands when they would go into the king uninvited. But I want us to see the simplicity of the plan, but yet how dangerous it could be for Esther. And let me tell you something, folks. When you decide to do things for the Lord, it might cause you some discomfort with the world, because you're going counter to the way the world goes. But in your planning, it ought to always include the Lord. Whether it's in your finances, you ought to include the Lord in your planning. Now, one of the things that I want us to take note of is that for those who are spending more than you make, stop it. Amen. Your plan ought to be, either I will increase my income or decrease my outflow. But it takes a plan to do that. Lord, help me to overcome the temptation to buy everything that's at Neiman Marcus. You say, "I don't go to Neiman Marcus." Amen. Might be Target, wherever you go. Help me to overcome the temptation to feel like I need things to make me somebody. See, one of the problems that we have, we think things will make us somebody. Amen. It's the content of your heart. It's your character that makes you somebody. Go ahead, Pastor. Amen. It's not the fact that I'm wearing whatever, it's the fact that God is in my heart. Amen. If you have a seemingly a doomed relationship, you got to plan how to make it work. Part of that plan, again, is invite the Lord into the relationship. Can't you hear Brother Paul telling husbands, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." You know, you're going to need the Lord to help you do this. Wives, submit to your husband. And I tell folk, submission does not mean that you are not equal to. It simply says you respect the headship. One of the things that I like to tell folk, you can never follow a parked car. That's right. Which means, husband, you got to get on out and do something. That's right. Well, that's another sermon. Amen. We have to learn. We have to learn. Whatever it is that we want to do, we need to plan for it. Amen. Amen. I need to plan, Paul said, on the first day of the week, let's lay by in store as God has prospered you. You plan to give to the Lord. If you come into the Lord's house and you go in your pocket and pull out some change, you haven't thought about it, haven't prayed about it, you haven't planned to do what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. You ought to think about how the Lord has blessed you, and then you can give in accordance with how He has blessed you. Amen. But plan. Amen. Plan. Mordecai and Esther had this plan, and the plan was Esther would go in before the king. Second part, second word, pray. Verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews that are in Shushan and fast ye for me. Want you to know that although the word prayer is not indicated here, we know that prayer and fasting are joined together like there's a coupling that keeps them together. Amen. We fast and pray. Amen. She is saying, fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days or 3 nights, and the maidens in my household will do the same. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that, as Brother James says in 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We ought always pray, amen, Luke 18:1, and not faint. Amen. Don't give up on whatever's going on. Pray about it. Amen. And when we pray about what's going on, God has a way of causing things to work together for our good. Can you think about that if we would pray more, amen, and fear less, life would be much better. Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. When we understand that God is in control. Now, I heard Mike Murdoch said, and I shouldn't call his name, but he said, is God really in control? How come things are going so badly? I've got to tell you, God is in control. He permits things to happen according to His permissive purpose. But God can cause all things, even bad things, to work together for your good and my good when He chooses to do so. So I'm not intimidated by what TV evangelists said. I'll tell you what this book says. And this book tells me that God is in total control. Amen. Amen. How do I know? Because God knows how to work things. What did I tell you? I said, number one, amen, we need to plan. Number two, we need to pray. But number three, we need to trust God. Amen. Amen. In Esther 4:14, for if thou altogether, this is Mordecai speaking, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement, the help and deliverance arrive to the Jews from another place. Amen. You've got to know that the God that you serve is in control, and that He can cause all things to work together for good. You need to know, as well as I need to know, that divine providence will prevail. God is working on your behalf, and you don't even know He's working. Thank you, Holy Ghost. How do I know? Look at the circumstances, how God involved Himself in this whole picture. Number one, Queen Vashti was deposed. Amen, amen. You see, you can't put Esther on the throne as long as Vashti is on the throne. Isn't it amazing how God fixes things? Amen. You see, sometimes you wonder how come you lost that job. Amen. God couldn't give you a better job as long as you were holding on to that job. Amen. Sometimes God has to do things, allow things that you think are contrary to make things better for you. Amen, because we tenaciously hold on to things when the Lord said, if you turn this loose, I can give you something better. There was a friend of mine who pastored at a small church, and I don't know whatever happened, but I felt badly because he left. I said, I hate for you to leave here. And he said, well, I just got to go. Just a little while later, God called him to a much larger, better field. And when I say better in terms of larger congregation, larger responsibility. And so sometimes God has to take things from us to enable us to have something better. Amen, amen. And so divine providence prevails. Vashti is deposed. Amen. God prevails. The king chooses Esther. Amen. Circumstances are working on the behalf of the Jews, and the Jews don't even know that it's happening now. Amen. God will work on your behalf, and you don't even know he's doing it. Ah, thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen, amen. Divine providence prevailed. God allowed Mordecai to overhear a plot against the king. Amen, amen. And Mordecai reported this, and it was recorded in the book of Chronicles. Divine providence prevails. The Bible says that there was a night when the king Ahasuerus could not sleep. Well, it's the Lord that touched him and wouldn't let him sleep. Gave him insomnia. I wish I had somebody to know what I'm talking about. Gave him insomnia, and so he asked that the book of Chronicles be brought, and when he read it, it was turned to the page that talked about what Mordecai had done. What's the point you're making, preacher? Amen. That God can operate, and you don't even know he's operating. When you learn how to trust God in everything, isn't it amazing how we know how to trust God when the doctor says it's cancer, but we don't know how to trust God when we got a common cold? Amen, amen. We want to fix that ourselves. We want to go to the liquor store and get a half a pint and make a hot toddy. Well, let me tell you something. This might be informative to you. If God can heal cancer, he can handle the common cold. You don't need to try to help God out. Just trust God in everything. But you see, it's hard sometimes to turn loose. We want to be, I'm a man. I want to control my own life. Let God have control. That's why he's called Lord. Divine providence will prevail. Amen. And then when I look at obedience, amen, Mordecai understood, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. God honors your obedience. Amen. God honors your faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. When God sees how we trust him, amen, when God sees how we obey him, God will put all the pieces together and make everything well. Well, if we were to put this whole thing together, how would it play out? I'm glad you asked. When we look at the book of Esther, we see divine providence in action. We see God moving in the lives of his people. We see that there is a man who has his cousin who he takes to be his daughter. Amen. And when there was a party in Shushan at the palace, amen, one thing about King Ahasuerus, he knew how to party. Amen. He had a week-long party. Amen. And when the party was good, amen, he sent for his wife and said, bring Queen Vashti. Amen. She's beautiful to look upon, and I want her to come in and do a sensuous dance. There's a lesson here for young women. Amen. What Vashti said, young women ought to learn how to say. It's no. No. Amen. Not going to do it. And the king says, well, what shall I do about her? And he's given, what you ought to do is get a new queen. Well, isn't it amazing how God can move one off to put one on? God still does that. He raises up one and he brings down one. That's what God does. He moves Vashti out and he allows Queen Esther, amen, to ascend to the throne. The Bible says that when it became time for Queen Esther, before she's queen, she doesn't have to fix herself all up. Amen. Her natural beauty flowed. And when she went in before the king said, that's the one. Well, really what I'm trying to get you to see is God is moving. And when I can trust God that he's going to move, trust him that he knows what he's doing. Amen, amen. And concurrent with that, it is amazing how God puts things together. Concurrent with that, Haman gets promoted. Haman gets the big head. Haman feels like I deserve, amen, some recognition. I deserve folk to look up to me. Haman had a problem because Mordecai says not going to do it. And let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. If anyone wants you to do things contrary to what God says, God always overrules. Amen. God's way is the best way. And for the Christian, it's the only way. Are y'all not hearing me? Amen. If we're to do anything, what does God say? When we know what God says, follow God's instruction. Amen. Haman gets so angry that he goes into the king and he plots against the entire nation of the Jews. He says, let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of them. And the king says, well, and he says, I will pay money for. He sweetens the pot. I'll pay money to get rid of them. And so the king allows that to happen. He sends out word that on so-and-so day, all the Jews will be annihilated. If you don't believe that's a tough time, think about those who are suffering that it's a tough time. But I'm glad that at tough time, that's when the tough get going. Amen. Mordecai worked the plan. Amen. He planned his work and then he worked his plan. He told Esther what to do. Esther followed the plan. The Bible says that when she went in, God had already prepared the heart of the king. When he sees her standing in the gate, in the door, he holds out the golden scepter. She goes in and he asks, what can I do for you? And I want you to notice in reading that, you read it when you go home, she's a little coy. She says, well, if we can just have a banquet, and I'm going to simply invite you and Haman. And don't you know Haman is really getting the big britches now? I'm really, amen, he was moving on up to the west side. Amen, amen. And the Bible says that they have this banquet, and the king asks, what can I do for you? And she says, I will tell you on the next time we have a meal together. And Haman goes home and he's still upset because Mordecai won't get up. I got a plan, his wife says. You better watch these plans when you come against the Lord's people. Amen, amen. I tell folk, you better be careful when you come against the preacher. Amen. Touch not mine anointed, nor do my... Y'all know what it says. Amen, amen. I got to digress for just a minute on that one. Because the Bible says of that, that there was a prophet named Elisha. And in his old age, Elisha was losing his hair. Elisha is walking, and some young kids see him, and they begin to cry, "Go up, bald head, go up." And Elisha looked at them, called two she-bears out of the woods, and devoured those young people. You got to be careful how you pick on, amen, God's people. Amen. Don't ever call your pastor bald head. Amen. There might be some she-bears lurking in the woods. Amen. And so the Bible says that Haman gets the word, what you need to do. We know we're going to destroy all the Jews. So why don't you just go ahead now and build the gallows. Amen. Because you're working it. You're there with the king and with the queen. You got it made. But I'm telling you, for tough times, God knows how to take care of you. Amen. The Bible says that on the next day, y'all, it's in your Bible, when they came together and the king asked Esther, what can I do? What's the problem? How can I fix it? Even up to half my kingdom. Amen. Esther said, it's this wicked Haman. He wants to destroy my people. She let them know who she was. And the Bible said the king was so upset till he walked out into the garden. And Haman knew that it's starting to flow against me. Amen. Let me plead my case with Esther. And he goes up to Esther to plead his case. Amen. She falls back on the bed. And as she's on the bed, guess what happened? The king comes in and he sees Haman over his wife. That was not a smart place to be. The king says, you will take my wife, my house? Somebody said word and said that Haman has built a gallows for Mordecai. The king said, hang Haman on his gallows. What am I trying to say? God knows how to bring these things to pass. Amen. If you trust in God in your hard times, God will bring you out more than a conqueror. God knows how to hold you in the hollow of his hand. Somebody said, how do I know? Because of what he has already shown us. Amen. Because the God that we serve had a plan. Amen. God had ordained that the Jews would be his instrumentality to the world. Amen. But the Jews refused him. Amen. And in the beginning, Adam and Eve sinned and went contrary to the will of God. But God still had a plan. What was the plan? God said, I'm going to draw them back to myself. But they can't do it of their own volition. I've got to take the initiative. I've got to bring them back. So what did God do? Amen. God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. Amen. He said, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. But what God did was he led his son go to the cross. The plan was, let them die for us. Amen. He that knew no sin, amen, died in our stead. But what I want us to see is he took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Amen. And that's why we can say, Abba, Father. Amen. We can praise him for what he has already done for us. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks, as I come to a close. If he never does anything else, he's already done enough. Amen. He died for our sin. But he didn't just die. He got up for our justification. Amen. He's made it possible that whosoever will can come to the Father. Amen. His precious blood was shed on Calvary that we might have the right to eternal life. Amen. Not all will be saved, but all of those that will accept him and what he has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He made it possible that the down and out, the whosoever, can be saved. If it was only the rich, some of us would be lost. But I'm glad that it's not what you got in your pocket, but what's in your heart. Amen. God comes in, and I can hear Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, we can't walk with God in sin, but I'm glad that He took my sin, gave me the righteousness of God, and now I can walk with Him, and He walks with me. Amen. He tells me I am His own. The old folks say He walks with me, and He talks with me. He talks to me when I'm when the going gets tough. He tells me to be not weary in well-doing. You shall reap in due season if you faint not. How do I know? Because they nailed Him to the cross. Rivets in His hand, rivets in His feet. They dropped Him low. They thrust Him wide. But I'm glad that He had the plan. Have I got a witness? Amen. The plan was He would give His life that we would have life. Amen. Isaiah said He was bruised for our iniquity. He was wounded for our transgression. But I'm glad that when He died, my sins were taken care of. And now we are in a right relationship with God. God is a good God. Worthy to be praised. When the going gets tough, I just need to know how to plan. And the plan is already in progress. Take your troubles to the Lord and leave them there. Have I got a witness? Too many of us try to fight our own battles. But the Lord said, amen, cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And then I need to know how to pray. Amen. When the going gets tough, I need to call out to God. Have I got a witness? But let me drop this on you. Don't wait till the going gets tough. You ought to pray all the time. You ought to thank Him. Have I got a witness? Because He's good to you. You ought to say thank you, Lord. Have I got a witness? You made it possible that everything would be well. So I thank the Lord that I have a plan, and God had a plan. We can pray to Him. He'll make everything all right. And then I learned to trust Him in everything. While I was headed the wrong way, He overtook me and brought me back. Place my feet on a solid rock. He's all right. He's all right. I trust Him in everything He tells me. Lord, have mercy. God is a good God. Worthy to be praised. He tells me when the going gets tough, I need to learn how to praise Him. You need to know how to praise Him when you're in trouble. Have I got a witness? I used to see my grandmother when we didn't have much. I'd see her walk through the house and wring her hands and say, the Lord will make a way. Yes, He will. And before the day was done, the Lord would send somebody by the house and He'd have something for us. Lord, have mercy. I want you to know. Oh, my mind is running back now. I can remember when somebody would kill a hog. Lord, have mercy. They didn't have butcher paper, but they'd have newspaper and wrap it up and bring it by the house. Oh, yes. God is a good God. Worthy, worthy. We will obey Him. Have I got a witness? Israel said, all
that the Lord had said, we will do. But they broke the covenant. Have I got a witness? But God never gave up on them. God is a faithful God. If you come back to Him, He'll receive you unto Himself. How do I know? Glad you ask. I want you to know in 1 John 1 and 9, have I got a witness in any man sin? What we need to do is confess our sins. God is faithful and He's just. He'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank the Lord. I'm closing now, but I had Jesus hanging on the cross. I want to go back to the cross, because hanging on the cross, I heard Him say, forgive them. Have I got a witness? When it's all taken care of, everything had been paid for, then He said, I thirst. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He thirst that we would need not thirst when it was all done. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The Bible says they lifted up. Have I got a witness? Lord have mercy. They lifted up a drink for Him. He drank the whole dregs, which tells me that my sins, though they be many, they all covered under His blood. For when He said it is finished, He hung His head in the locks of His shoulder, gave up the ghost. Have I got a witness? They took Him down, put Him in a borrowed grave, stayed there Friday night, all day Saturday night, but early Sunday morning, He got up with all power. He gives me the power to have enduring power. I can endure. I don't care how tough it is. The God that I serve, He's with me in my ups and downs. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not only do I endure, but then I plan, I pray, I trust, and I obey. And I get a witness, for the Bible said, thank the Holy Ghost, He tabernacle here for 40 days. And I got a witness, took His band of disciples as far as the Mount of Olives. And while they were there, a cloud came down, separated them. Jesus, the matchless Lamb of God, stepped on the cloud, headed back to glory. But on His way back, He looked back and saw the disciples that had followed Him from the lake of Gennesaret. Their hearts are heavy, they are shedding tears. And He stopped in mid-air and said, oh, angel, come down. Go down and tell them this same Jesus. You see going away, He's coming back. I want to tell you, friendship, He's coming back. Do you know Him? Have you tried Him? Is He in your life? When the going gets tough, do you have help in time of trouble? I'm glad I got the Lord on my side. Is He's all right. Hallelujah. He is all right. Hallelujah. Have you tried it? You're here today and make peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I extend a hand to you, but come to the Lord. If you don't like friendship, come to the Lord. Hallelujah. We want you.